I, like many of you, are absolutely sickened. I, like many of you, have read with disgust the things that have occurred within our church. I, like you, am angry. I'm dismayed. I'm shocked. I heard a priest give a homily the other night that said although he is not in favor of the death penalty, he certainly can understand why we would want to have the death penalty. For those of you who have read the reports regarding now Theodore McCarrick and others within our church coming out of Pennsylvania, I have to say that it hurts. It hurts to the core. As a representative of the church, I am absolutely disgusted. In this one report in Pennsylvania, which is of multiple counties, it does not include Philadelphia and Allentown. Other reports have come out about that. To see the cover-up that took place, over 400 priests and bishops who in the name of Jesus Christ covered up these heinous crimes for years. It makes me sick. I've read the report. I forced myself to read it because I didn't want to read what other news sources had to say. I didn't want to see what the right was saying or what the left was saying. I wanted to see what it said to me. Certain of our leaders have failed us. Their actions and the actions of some of the members of the bar of the Pennsylvania, and I myself am a lawyer, were criminal. These priests, these bishops, these lawyers, they need to go to jail. They need swift justice. Many of the priests mentioned in this report are deceased, and I say thank God for that. Many of them are no longer priests, and I say thank God for that. But unfortunately, some of our civil laws still protect them. Some of the settlements that were entered into still protect them. Makes me sad. As my daughter told me the other day, my 30-year-old, she said, Dad, focus on the victims. And I said, honey, my heart just aches for them. Young boys, young girls, young men, young women, my heart aches for them. The story of how their lives have been affected by these criminals is disgusting. Some of these victims did receive justice. Many did not. These people responsible for these crimes came claiming that they were Christ-like, that they were coming in the name of Christ and in his church and of our faith. And they performed these dastardly acts. Many of them are psychologically ill. I get that. I get that. They need our prayers too. I'm not here to say that they ought to be executed. I'm not here to say that they ought not to be in prison. They need to be in prison. But they need our prayers also because they're ill. But their victims are far worse. Their illness does not excuse what they did and certainly does not belong to be a part. They do not belong to be a part of the priesthood, the holy priesthood of Jesus Christ. Others have asked me to tone down my anger. I don't know that I can do that. I've read story after story of many failed marriages, of hurtful behaviors, of victims who've ended up themselves in jail because of the things that happened to them. It's a sad day for our church. Many will leave. That's unfortunate. Many will want revenge, and that's unfortunate. Many will want to take it out upon the thousands of good priests and bishops who still serve our church and who are doing so with sadness in their hearts. Many will speak with their checkbook as a form of protest. My brothers and sisters, this is not a time to run. Today is a call to action. As Father and I just said beforehand, this is one state in our union, and we're just one of many countries. The time for action is now. The laity needs to stand up. Deacons need to stand up. Priests need to stand up. Our good bishops need to stand up, and they need to correct this problem. The only silver lining in this report that I read is that most of this action occurred prior to the year 2002, when our own archbishop, with the Catholic bishops, put together new guidelines to protect our youth, to protect our vulnerable. And Lord knows the people in Pennsylvania were looking for other actions. But that doesn't excuse the fact that most of this happened before 2002, because many of them are still in ministry. Many of the bishops who moved them around from diocese to diocese, from church to church, they are still in power. And they need to go. If not voluntarily, they need to be forced out. And it's only going to be by your voices, by my voice, by Father Abel's voice, by Father Sonny's voice, and the other good priests of our diocese. It's only going to be by them speaking that this will happen. I've been privileged to work a lot with our seminarians over the past few years, and thank God we have some great priests in the making. But a priest, a good friend of mine who was just ordained 2 months ago, he posted with sadness on Facebook the other day how this affects him. And he's in tears. I read an editorial the other day, and it says, the revelations of the last 2 months make it undeniably clear that it is time for the laity to reclaim its ownership of this church. We together are the body of Christ. We are the church. And it's time that we demand that our bishops claim the true vocation, says, the servants of God that they have been called to be. And they must live that way. Seminaries need to change their behavior. Stricter guidelines need to be in place to weed out the bad ones. Illnesses need to be discovered early. And we need to have accountability of our bishops. Who knows, this may be the last homily that I ever give. I ask that it be recorded today because I don't want my words to be misconstrued and I don't want the gravity of this situation to be misunderstood. But you, the laity, make up over 99% of the church. And your voices need to be heard. Our church has suffered through man-made crises before, and it will likely do so in the future. But the truth of Jesus Christ doesn't change. Jesus hasn't changed one bit. Our faith, our religion has not changed. individuals do. And our faith, yours and mine, must never rest in a single individual other than Jesus Christ himself. Evil has existed in our church for centuries, but it's time for it to get the hell out. Our scripture readings today are awesome in the way they guide us. In the book of Proverbs, we hear that wisdom has built her house on a firm foundation. Our church's one foundation is Jesus Christ himself, not deacons, not priests, not bishops, but Jesus Christ. We must advance in the way of our understanding and know who is the anchor of our faith. Paul's letter to the Ephesians could not be more clear today. Watch, he says. The days are evil. Know what the will of the Lord is and be filled at all times with his Spirit. See, if we run from the church now, if we run from his teachings now, if we run from the Eucharist now, we are like those foolish persons who are talked about in Scripture. Oh, we are going to get mocked. Just tell anybody of your friends that you're a devout Catholic, that you believe in the teachings of the Catholic Church, you're going to be criticized. Our God knows that we will suffer. I have to believe that Jesus is weeping for us right now. But my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ suffered for us so that we would have eternal life. He left us the Eucharist to feed us and to give us strength for this journey. And that is what the Bread of Life discourse is all about. Bringing us back to the source and the summit of our faith. The Eucharist is what makes us unique. It is life-giving. It leads the missionaries of charity in India to pick up the sick and dying from the slums all over the slums of India and throughout the world and care for them. It leads the missionaries of the poor in Jamaica and elsewhere to do the same. It is the Eucharist that leads my daughter Caitlin to be in Cambodia right now, working on ending human trafficking and slave trafficking that still exists there, and it exists right here, right now. The Eucharist. Jesus himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is what gives us the strength to follow his teachings. And those teachings sometimes are hard. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Blessed are you when they insult and hate you. You have heard an eye for an eye, and I say, turn the other cheek. You have heard, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say, love and pray for your enemy. These are just a few. When we come to Holy Mass each and every week, we invite Jesus into us. His teachings and the Eucharist have got to take root in our souls. Christ must be at the center of our lives. He still desires to transform us, to change us, to be more like him. Come and eat, he says. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. We have a choice to make. We can continue to come and be faithful. We can continue to come, be faithful, and let our voices heard, be heard. Or we can run away. If we do run away, we let the names or the news of the day steal our hope. We let the news of the day steal our faith. We let the news of the day steal our joy. If we do run away, Satan scores another victory. Or we can choose to stay. We can choose to fight. We can choose to be heard. We can choose to love and to forgive. And hopefully we will all respond like Peter did. To where shall we run, Lord? You have the words of everlasting life. Our faith is solid. Our church is solid in its teachings. Choose to be holy.